If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Blake Tomeyer's the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast is SEC Football Unfiltered. Episodes available each and every week wherever you find your podcasts. He's on the Everything app at B. Tomeyer. Blake, what do you make of Jaden Daniels sending a cease and desist to LSU over the number five?
Boy, it is the ultimate petty move. LSU hasn't retired his number. They're going to let somebody else retire his number. But how many programs around the country don't have numbers being worn by current players that were previously worn by Heisman winners? Like, this isn't unique that, a program has a guy win the Heisman and they don't retire their number. I mean, my goodness, how many players are on football rosters nowadays, right? You can't be putting 10, 12 numbers into retirement. You're not going to have enough numbers for guys to wear. It's just...
Don't tell that to the Yankees.
Fortunately, MLB rosters have only 28 players or so, I think it is. Football is a little bit different. I don't get it. You know, it's a bad PR look for Daniels. He doesn't need more money. He doesn't need more fame. He's got all that. It just comes off as especially petty. And this was, he was a Heisman winner. He was a great player, but he was also a transfer. So he didn't spend his whole career at LSU. LSU made him. He didn't make LSU. The one thing you can say Brian Kelly got right about his tenure at LSU was Jaden Daniels. He brought him in. He and his staff developed him and turned him into a superstar. And it's not like Jaden Daniels took LSU to glory. They were good while he was there. They weren't great. They didn't make the playoff. They didn't win a national championship. This just, to me, burns down his legacy and reputation at LSU. And I hate to be the one to tell Jaden Daniels this, but LSU is bigger than Jaden Daniels, not the other way around.
Yeah, I was wondering, and maybe there's no way of knowing this, but I was wondering how much of this is a Jaden thing versus Jaden's mom.
Well, that might be true, but I'm sorry. By the time you're in the NFL and a professional, I mean, you don't get to be led around by the nose and get to put the blame on whoever's leading you around, right? You're a 25-year-old man, professional athlete, playing on a pro contract, one of the stars of the league. Like, I don't, maybe this is bad advice from his family. Maybe this is bad advice from a lawyer, whatever it is. You got to be mature enough to recognize that now and realize life goes on. Someone's wearing my number now. Big deal. Frankly, number five is not even the most famous number at LSU, right? It is not good for Jaden Daniels' reputation, for his business, for anything. You know, if he was hurting for the money and you're trying to squeeze a few more nickels at LSU, say, hey, you gotta throw something my way to continue to use. If you want to continue to use my name, image, and likeness, I mean, that doesn't do anything to keep putting someone in his number.
That was the other thing that was weird to me. Well, like that was the other thing that's weird to me. It's like, all right, at first it feels like a shakedown, but then you start to like, it's like, how much money is LSU making off this? Because if there really were a ton of money out there being made off this, somebody would have already sued over this. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, and they don't need.
By the way, I looked it up. Indiana has two players wearing 15 this year.
Yeah, there. That case in point, slam dunk. If Indiana is comfortable putting two guys in Fernando Mendoza's number, it's just pipe down, Jaden Daniels. Grow up. This is pathetic, quite frankly. And you know, if I'm LSU, I just say that's fine. We want new. We're going to keep putting guys in the number five because I don't see how there's any legal argument how Jaden Daniels can say you can't let current players wear the number five anymore. You don't have claim to the only number five jersey, Jaden Daniels. Other people can wear number five just because you left. But if you know what, if he doesn't want LSU using his name, image, and likeness, that's fine. LSU has had great players before Jaden Daniels. They'll have great players after Jaden Daniels. They don't need to market him, sever ties with him. I'd send a cease and desist right back to Jaden Daniels and say, you're no longer welcome in Tiger Stadium. Have a nice life.
No, I'm with you. It definitely feels like the biggest issue here is just not reading the room. Because clearly they thought that they were going to be the sympathetic figure here. And almost universally, everybody's like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, I wonder if they thought, like, you know, Lane Kiffin's popularity is probably at an all-time low, which is kind of saying something because Lane's popularity has been pretty low at different times in his career.
Well, it's like it might be an all-time low nationwide, but I can't tell you. I bet his approval rating at LSU is 100.
Yeah, it's a lot higher than what Jaden Daniels is.
Yeah.
But even nationally, like, you know, I don't know if they thought like, ooh, well, nationally, the national media is kind of relishing turning Lane into a punching bag in this moment. Maybe we'll be the sympathetic figures in this story, but no, national media weren't hoodwinked by this because, like, again, where is this coming from? Like, no other former Heisman winners are throwing a fit that current players are wearing their numbers. I mean, it's just normally when something like this happens, I can, even if it's like, slim chance of success, I understand the Hail Mary, and it's like, I see the upside if you complete your Hail Mary here. You know, when Brendan Sorsby's legal team was arguing that he should be allowed to continue playing college football because he's a gambling fiend, and as a gambling addict, gambling rules shouldn't apply to him, I'm like, seems like kind of a ludicrous Hail Mary, but I understand the upside if it works.
Right, you get
and
to play. Yeah.
Yeah, you get to play. Like here, it seems like a Hail Mary shot, and I don't understand what the upside is. It's like, you know, second and one in the first quarter, and you're throwing a Hail Mary. Like, I don't get it. Everything is going in Jaden Daniels' favor. You know, his life should be coming up roses, and he just harpooned himself for no good reason.
Well, it's also like, hey man, should you be worried about like the NFL?
Yes. Yes. I also like that Daniels released a statement yesterday and saying all of his focus is getting ready for the upcoming season. No, it's not.
No.
You've engaged a legal team to file a cease and desist on your behalf. Your entire focus is not on the upcoming season. He also said, I'd like this to be a private matter. When you file a cease and desist to a public university, that by definition is impossible to keep a private matter. So, none of this makes any sense from any. I mean, for the lawyers, it makes sense because billable hours remain undefeated, right? So I get it from a lawyer's perspective. That's great, but you have to be mature enough to know when you're being led down a really, really foolish road with no upside. And again, we're not talking about a 17-year-old here. This is a 25-year-old man. There's a lot of other 25-year-olds in the league. There's other 22-year-olds in the league that would never cook up something this stupid.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's like about not getting it. And it's almost like, did they have like merch in mind? Like they were going to trademark it? And it's like what it. It's like cease and desist. What the number? Like, what are you doing? Like, okay, so you can't put him on a video package? Like, who does that hurt? That hurts you. That's putting you on the absolutely hurts you. Like, but,
yeah.
Now you're out of sight, out of mind. Guess what? They're going to put more Joe Burrow out there. Like, what are you doing?
That's exactly what they're going to do. And that was kind of what I was getting at earlier. Like, LSU's had better players come along than Jaden Daniels. He was great for a season. He won Heisman. And I'm not taking away from that season. He was the best player in college football. I voted for him too. But LSU has other great players. Joe Burrow not only won a Heisman, he won a national championship. That guy is a legend at LSU and will always be a legend and would never do anything this stupid to tarnish his legendary status. So, you know what, Jaden Daniels, again, if he wants to cut ties with LSU, if I'm LSU, I cut ties with him and tell him he's not welcome on the sidelines at Tiger Stadium. If he wants to buy a ticket and sit in the nosebleeds, I guess you can't stop him from doing that. But otherwise, don't come around those parts.
All right, you've ranked the 10 biggest games of the year. You did it chronologically. I'll ask it to you this way. What is the game that, you know, if you're sitting there going, I can only watch one of these, what is the one that you're most excited to see?
The one I want to be there in person for is the obvious. It's Lane goes back to Oxford, Mississippi. If I can, and I'm going to be there for that one, but if I get the chance to be there in person and only get to pick one, that's the one. I want to experience that atmosphere that day for many reasons. It's going to be just incredible. It's going to be like, you know, a gladiator walking into a Coliseum. I very foolishly missed Lane's return to Neyland Stadium in 2021. I assigned myself to another game that I thought would be more important.
In fairness, I think we all just overlooked it. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of us thought it's been so long that, like, now when you saw it in person, you're like, God, I wish I was there. But, like, I wasn't expecting that.
I never would have made that mistake. I thought Lane's been back before as Alabama's offensive coordinator. Tennessee fans had really sort of thawed on him over the years. I mean, he wasn't necessarily the most popular guy in town, but a lot of Tennessee fans had warmed up to Lane. It had been enough time. Lane was kind of chummy with Vol Twitter online. And so I wasn't expecting that at all. Now, there were other elements in play. Tennessee lost. Tennessee fans, as they are every Saturday, were mad at the refs.
Started Lane, like 8:30 Eastern. So yeah, everybody was blitzed.
Yeah, so there are a number of factors at play. But having missed that one, I'm like, yeah, I'm not missing the Lane return to Oxford, because I feel like coming into the game, I mean, that turned into a vitriolic scene in Knoxville, but coming into the game, the bitterness is on another level in Mississippi than what it was when Lane came back to Tennessee in 2021. As far as watching on, if I wasn't able to be in the building and could just watch one game on TV, I think I got to go to Big Ten land and say either Oregon, Ohio State, or Indiana, Ohio State. The Big Ten schedule,
it's very backloaded.
Yeah, and we get dragged down in these arguments of who's got the better conference, et cetera. We don't have to go down that road. But where the Big Ten schedule, I think, is a little bit lacking as compared to the SEC is because their league is, I don't know, maybe it's because their league is bigger, I guess, 18 teams versus 16. I just don't feel like you get as many of these types of matchups. And when they happen, you can't miss them. So Ohio State's schedule is loaded this year. Absolutely loaded. So is Texas' schedule. I mean, they might be the two most talented teams in the country. They're certainly near the top of the list, if not 1-2 at the top of the list. But their schedules are among probably the five toughest in the country. So, yeah, as far as not being in the building, I'd choose either Indiana, Ohio State, or Oregon, Ohio State.
No, I think you're right with Texas and Ohio State. It's kind of like, listen, if I were ranking, if I had to do my own top 25, I think I'd put Ohio State number one. I don't have the most confidence that they're a playoff team simply because of the schedule.
I feel the same way about Texas. I think, you know, if we're just ranking most talented teams in college football, they have to be toward the top of the list. But if we're ranking teams by playoff odds, I would have several teams higher than Texas because that schedule is loaded.
Yeah.
You know, when I went into this exercise obviously didn't really have any ulterior motives other than try to rank the 10 best games on the schedule.
We just wanted to think about football.
Yeah, I wanted to think about football and try to find the 10 best games, the 10 games I'm most excited about. And so I go through it, no real rhyme or reason other than week by week seeing do any of these games make my list. I initially created a list of 18 games and then whittled it down to 10. And when I was all finished, I realized I had 5 games involving Texas in my top 10. And I thought, that's a little Texas heavy. Do I swap out one of these? And I'm like, no. I went through the exercise with a fair mind, and it wound up with Texas being involved in 5 of the 10 games. And I'm like, no, this is legitimately how I feel. 5 of the top 10 games this year, Texas is one element of that game, which speaks to a couple things. One, I think Texas is a national championship contender. 2, Arch Manning adds another degree of intrigue every time Texas steps out there. You can't deny that. But then 3, the biggest point is what we've just said. They might have the toughest schedule in the country. When you have 9 conference games in addition to a clash against the preseason number one, it sets up for a loaded schedule. And it's not like they got an easy SEC draw. Now, some SEC coaches would say there are no easy draws. Kirby Smart, I'm sorry, but you got a pretty easy SEC draw. You should be thanking the commish and his staff this year. Texas?
Now, but let's go to that Kirby point, though, because this has always been my contention. So, Kirby, remember at the SEC title game 2 years ago when he's chasing after Greg Sankey in a scene out of a movie?
Yes.
He had every right to do it. Now, here's the flip side. Schedules eventually turn over.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when everyone gripes, the schedule's so hard. It's like, okay, I get it. Maybe you got to time up your best team with your best schedule. I understand all that, but it's going to eventually even out. That's the whole point of rotating schedules.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
it's the opposite of Missouri right now. Missouri got a great schedule the last 2 years. Guess what? It's going to beef up.
It's going to beef up. And I actually think when Texas and Oklahoma came into the league, Oklahoma got a much more difficult 2-year draw than what Texas did. Now, Texas wasn't able to cash in last year, but they can't blame that on Greg Sankey. They lost to Ohio State, but the big thing was they lost to one of the worst teams in the SEC, Florida. And I don't want any of this business about, oh, he's at the swamp. South Florida marched into the swamp 2 weeks before. A Florida man hawked a loogie on the Bulls, and the Bulls walked out of there with a victory.
Forgot Wilson, the receiver, didn't play that game.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. There's always got to be a caveat, right? Texas did not make the playoff last year because they got stiffed by Greg Sankey. They got a great conference schedule draw, pretty good anyway, last year, and they weren't able to cash in large part because they blew it in the swamp against a bad Florida team. But they had a much better schedule draw for 2 years than what Oklahoma did. So now, as you pointed out, these things reset every couple years. And so now Texas has the harder schedule draw. I like the 12-team playoff. I wrote about it this week. But to me, if there is an argument against the 12-team playoff, is that because it's limited in size and because of the rules saying, each of the 4 Power 4 conferences got to be represented, and then you got to have a group of 6. And oh, by the way, Notre Dame is going to make it in most years. It really limits it for a team like a Texas. If they were to go 9-3 against this schedule, will the committee pick them? Now, I'm not convinced that the committee won't pick them. Just because the committee hasn't picked a 9-3 team through 2 years doesn't mean they're never going to pick a 9-3 team. Circumstances change each and every year. How do the losses look? Who did you lose to? Texas could have gotten into the playoff last year. It was a crowded bubble. And I think in a crowded bubble situation, that loss in the swamp to a bad Gators team was hard to ignore. But if they go through this schedule, they're 9-3. They lose close to Ohio State. Ohio State, goes into the playoff at number 1 or number 2. They could have a compelling case at 9-3. And also, they're going to have that 9th SEC game this year. Will the committee offer any extra value to that? I don't know. I think the SEC coaches would preemptively tell you, nah, there's going to be no value in that. The committee doesn't do anything for our strength of schedule. that's not entirely true, and we haven't even seen it yet. Maybe a 9-3 Texas team that played 9 conference games could get into the field. Or who knows? Maybe Texas goes 11-1. They got the talent to do it.
I think if you made me bet yes or no, does a 3-loss at-large team get in this year? I think I'd bet yes.
I think I would too. I think I would too.
If we make it binary, it's just simple yes or no. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a much better chance if, say, your ACC and Big 12 front runners win their conference.
Yep.
You need those conferences, I think, to be one big.
You need Miami to stop farting around.
Yep. Miami just blaze a just blaze through the ACC, whether it be Texas Tech or, say, BYU, kind of neatly win the Big 12, whichever ends up being, you know, the best Big 12 team to emerge. So turn those leagues into one bid leagues, and I think there's a possibility, yes, at a 9-3 team. You're right. I mean, it's, we were handicapping this as percentages. I wouldn't put it at a 70% chance, but if I got to make a binary choice, I would say yes, we get a 9-3 team in the playoff this year.
If you're Kalen DeBoer, are you kind of happy about where your team is sitting this year?
I think I'm happiest that I got a contract extension that beefed up my buyout.
Yeah, I probably increased the guarantees.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of think, wouldn't you rather be like, I don't know, like this is the first time where it's like the expectations aren't super high, but I still think their roster is going to be pretty good.
I do too, and I think that there's a difference between, let's say, the ESPN manufactured pressure or hot seat on Kalen DeBoer versus reality.
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, my residence is about 3 miles from the Alabama state line. They're the most popular team.
Well, the only thing that separates the panhandle from Alabama is an imaginary line.
Yes, is a skinny border, yes. Particularly when you live as close to that border.
Correct.
It's
culturally the same thing.
Yes. Alabama's number one, and Florida is probably number two in a crowded SEC city. And so I bump into Alabama fans, point being, I cover a lot of games in Tuscaloosa. Like, they're not ready to build the guy a statue by any means. They're also, in average, not ready to run him out of town either. Like, I think they're in wait-and-see mode on this guy. They're not... if he loses one more game, he's out of here. No. I mean, that's what you would believe if all you watched was the ESPN morning shows where a bunch of people who don't really know anything about college football want to talk about Alabama and a few other schools all the time. It's like, oh, Kalen DeBoer's on a hot. No, he's not. He's not on a hot seat. Now, if he was 5-7, they might say, well, I don't care how much it costs. We'll fire him anyway. But I don't think he's going to go 5-7. And so the thing that I am most excited about if I'm Kalen DeBoer is I don't think this is a winner walk season. I don't think, unless it gets really bad, I don't think he's coaching for his job this year. I think he's got some exciting potential at quarterback in Keelan Russell, but nobody expects him to win the national championship this year. If he can go 10-2 or maybe even 9-3 playing Keelan Russell and show his fan base that, hey, we got Russell back for a couple more seasons. We can retain this guy, develop him. Look what I've done with quarterbacks in the past. I think he can build excitement there without winning the national championship. I mean, will Alabama fans be satisfied in a season that doesn't end in a title? No, Saban spoiled him. But I don't know that they're going to be ready to fire him either. If it looks good but not complete this season.
Well, like, I just look
just
at...
Just don't lose to Florida State.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Now, he's been very good at home. Like, he's been incredible at home. I also think that Florida State game, I think you and I talked about it the week after, where this is, I think, where you and I just started doing, like, the... You know, you can kick field goals, guys. Like,
yes.
Occasionally, like... Because he coached that game like they were down 7 scores, and you're like, listen, man, like, hang in there, and then the rain kind of came. It was a weird game. Now, they got their butts kicked. They got pushed around, and they got bullied. So I'm not acting like that didn't happen, but that game was also mismanaged, and I think he would like that one back again. But, like, I look at it, okay, you're going to be a heavy favorite against East Carolina, heavy favorite against Kentucky, even though it's on the road, a heavy favorite against Florida State at home, favorite against South Carolina at home, pretty big favorite at Mississippi State, maybe slight home dog against Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Probably
slight, couple points.
Probably touchdown favorite at Tennessee, right?
Yeah, 5.5.
Yeah, maybe. Somewhere in that area. Field goal favorite-ish right against A&M?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Toss up LSU? Maybe a field goal underdog?
I think the national narrative is too down on Alabama. I'm seeing some of these guys like leak out their AP ballots. AP poll comes out early next week. I don't have a ballot this year. But I think you're going to see Alabama like 19, 20, 21, 22 on some of these AP ballots. And I just think like, I think that is a, Alabama's not what they were under Nick Saban. So it's like, ooh, let's really stick it to them, you know, and show that Alabama's glory days are over. Yeah. Alabama's glory days are over. But if you've got Alabama down at 21 on your ballot, like you're seeing a different Bama team than what I'm seeing. They have to be better on the offensive line. That is, to me, the biggest – I mean, all the focus goes on quarterback, and that is a huge decision for Kalen DeBoer. But they need to be better at offensive line, and they need to be better on the defensive line. I think I maybe feel a little better about them on the D-line. The O-line, I'm kind of in wait-and-see mode on that.
Yeah, I agree with you on better. That. I think you got to prove it. I actually think that defense – like, yeah, maybe you could move the ball on them – that defense, particularly in the second half of the year, they were pretty damn good.
They were, and that whole secondary is back.
Yeah.
And I think they've gotten better up front. I feel pretty good. It's not going to be an old days saving unit.
Yeah, no, this isn't the every guy's going to be drafted in the top 50 picks. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. But I think in terms of the standard of this year's college football, I think it's going to be a really good defense.
I do too. And so it comes down to offensive line – and how good can the quarterback be this year? But yeah, I think there's a chance when the AP poll comes out that we say Alabama is underrated. Now in the coaches poll, that we had at USA Today a couple weeks ago, they were 11. And I'm like, that feels about right. I look at them as a playoff bubble team coming into the season. I don't know which side they're going to land. I think they're a contender. I don't know if they're in and out. 11 feels about right because a group of five teams going to take a bid. So 11 actually means 12 right on the bubble. And that's about how I feel about him. DeBoer it's interesting. So I was in his office, I guess it was early April, and we were talking and I said, already in this off season, all the dialogues about how terrible you guys were against Indiana and that loss. And I'm like, that's going to be the dialogue for the next 2 months. But I said to him, you know, actually, the real downfall of your season was losing to Florida State and or Oklahoma, because if you win either one of those games,
you're not playing them.
You're not playing Indiana in the quarterfinal. And he said, and you don't know how a coach is going to react to that type of premise, but you could tell he'd thought about that too.
Yeah.
He said, that's exactly right. He said the real mistake, the real blunder of our, and it wasn't excusing the way they played Indiana. They got blasted. But as he put it, like, multiple teams got blasted by Indiana. Well,
I think Oregon got beat just as bad, if not worse. Now, it does all speak to the nature of January 1. Like, you know what I mean? And Alabama losing is funny to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and it was in the Rose Bowl.
But, like, we don't hold it against Oregon.
Right, and we probably should.
Let me phrase it. Y'all don't hold it against Oregon. I'm kind of a Lanning and Dante Moore truther.
Yeah, I see that. Dan Lanning needs to prove it one time.
My whole thing is, I'm not saying they're not a great program, and I'm not saying he's not a great coach, but we give them a benefit of the doubt that we do not to other programs, and they've not earned it. Like, think about this. They get more benefit of the doubt than Indiana, and look at what Indiana's done the last 2 years.
I completely agree. I mean, you know, when we look at Dan Lanning versus Kalen DeBoer, I think a lot of Bama fans, maybe not Bama fans, I think a lot of pundits, national pundits would say, oh, Alabama would be much better off with Dan Lanning. And I'd say,
I don't know.
That's true. Kalen DeBoer took a team to the national championship game. Kalen DeBoer.
Every time they played, he won.
Yeah. Yeah, every time they played head-to-head, he won.
Yes,
right.
with the inferior roster.
Uh-huh. You know, Dane Lanning had the one seed in the playoff 2 years ago and got de-pantsed.
The game was over before it was on ABC. Remember, the game before ran long. By the time it flipped onto ABC, we're like, well, what else is on?
Yeah, and the Emperor's wearing no clothes. So you're totally spot on. I think it's because, like, I don't know, Oregon's like this cute, fun program who doesn't have, like, a long history of success. I mean, not back in yesteryear, but, like, the last 25 years, Oregon's been pretty darn good, and it doesn't really matter how good you were in 1960 anymore. So, like, actually, Oregon has more reasons to succeed in the year 2026 than what Alabama does, or at least...
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, they have at least like a 3-foot head start on Alabama. I don't care what happened, you know, 75 years ago. That doesn't matter anymore. And so you're right. Dan Lanning does sort of get a bit of a free pass. Like everybody's saying, like with Texas this year, it's championship or bust. I don't even know what that means. You know, it's like, what are they going
to fire? Or what, are they firing him if they get to the national title and then lose in overtime? Is he getting fired? Yeah. Okay.
They lose.
I mean, sign me up. I'd love to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but if that's the case, why aren't we saying that about Dan Lanning? Because Dan Lanning, Oregon's pouring a lot of money into his roster. Oregon might be, I hate that we don't have the specifics on this.
I need salary caps. I do. I need the financial reports.
I don't want a cap.
Exactly. I just want the, whatever, when we go and see the roster, like we do with whatever the baseball website.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know how much is poured into each team. But I bet the numbers at Oregon are very similar to the numbers at Texas. So why is it championship or bust for Steve Sarkisian, but not championship or bust for Dan Lanning? You are spot on with that. I don't...
Also, go look up Big Game Dante Moore, by the way.
I'm not familiar with that trend.
So I looked up.
Right,
he played
James.
He played four games last year against teams. I sorted it by points per drive. Four teams that would have been top 50 defenses. In those four games, his completion percentage dropped. 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He was sacked 10 times. His passer efficiency rating dropped by like 65 points. His EPA per drop back was negative. And then if you go and you look at sort at the G6 games and then Rutgers and Oklahoma State, which were, let's be real, maybe worse than G6 teams, 18 of his 30 touchdowns. It was his completion percentage goes up. Yards per attempt was double digits. And EPA per play was 0.5. So he made all his hay basically in 5 games.
That's good, notable research for a guy who's getting a ton of preseason buzz. And hey, maybe the NFL talent evaluators love him. The NFL talent evaluators.
There's a lot to love. He's an extremely talented kid.
Totally. And they may love Lenore Sellers too. All I know is Lenore Sellers' team stunk last year and he personally got worse. Maybe he'll have a fine career in the NFL. I don't know.
Or you know what? Maybe this. Maybe they made a bad hire with Shula. And maybe this year it gets back to, you know, utilizing his skill set. Like, I'm open to all these ideas, but I also didn't love Sellers the year before, even though he's, like, exciting. I get it. But I will never forget throwing a football on a do-or-die play, a 2-point conversion to tie the game 5 rows into the stands.
Woof. Yeah. Yeah, if he didn't wear goggles, would he have gotten that much buzz?
And he's a fun player because he's a very fun player to watch.
Goggles.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay, you too.
That is Blake Topmeyer. We come back 5 for the weekend coming up next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
All right, boys. Five for the weekend. Let's get into it. George, your number five.
My number five, I am dipping into the W for my number five. We have another matchup of the top of the Western Conference between the Minnesota Lynx going on the road to Las Vegas to take on the Aces. This is game three of their season series. They are split between the two first meetings.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Aces are just load managing the season.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, the only thing that matters is.
Yeah, that's a playoff team.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. Let's get Asia, make sure she's healthy for everyone's, the playoffs. Yep. And then, okay, everyone else get out of the way.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
D Mike.
Yeah, number five for me. I'm going the baseball route, and I'm going with my boys. I'm going Braves, D backs. Important series for the D backs, but also the Braves. We got to get some wins because this series is going to be on my list later. Dodgers, Brewers. Is happening this weekend, and they're going to beat each other. So while they're
someone's going to have to lose one of the three games. Or
while they're beating each other, we need wins. So number five for me.
Braves, I have that. I have the same reasoning for some things later on in my list as well.
There we go.
My number five starters are going to play at least early. Give me Vikings Giants. So
starters like Tinky Winky.
Well, Jackson's. I think Tinky Winky's got to play.
Really?
Hey, air that thing out, man.
Let's see. According to AI, here's who we know. They're saying Josh is going to play early. George has already said most of the Jets are playing. Most people have been at least playing a series. So it was good to have football back on the screen last night.
Yeah.
George, four.
My number four, I am going with that series that you mentioned there to Michael. The Brewers and the Dodgers, two of the best teams in the National League. Why this is of interest to me as well, at least partially, because there is still the race for the best record in Major League Baseball on the line. The Brewers have been up there pretty much all season. They've been awesome. We're not getting all of their top pitching. We are getting a Mizorowski day tomorrow.
Ooh,
I wish that was Sunday. I really wish that was Sunday, because then that would have been Miz versus Scooble, and that would have been just what a watch.
First team to one wins.
Pretty much, right. But instead, we get Mizorowski and Robleski tomorrow. But obviously, you know, I'm going to have my eyes on that. Should be a fun series to watch.
Yeah, completely agree. I actually am going to the W as well. But
do you have them one tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got Dallas. I got Dallas in Indiana. I'm looking forward to that one. Caitlin Clark, Paige. I always was.
CeCe's been hooping lately.
Yes, I was always Paige over CeCe, like from the beginning, and everyone else. I think what happened, everyone was there freshman year. Everyone was Paige. And somewhere along the line, it completely shifted to CeCe. And, I mean, she deserves it. But Paige is still the better player to me. Paige plays both sides. She's making the impact. But I always like to see when those two take the floor against one another. And, of course, there's other star players in that matchup as well. Hopefully these two meet in the playoffs.
I thought about putting that game on there and then just live tweeting it for engagement grifting and try and beef up my new Twitter account. Yeah, and then I realized,
it's just
like,
a new followers.
I realized, I don't actually want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that.
You better be careful.
Like, well, it's not, I'm fine being in the mud.
Yeah. That's nothing new for you.
I mean, I was born in the mud.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with that. It's also mainly just like, I don't really care that deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. And also, it's like trying to make a regular season game like that.
Yeah.
But again, that one is on Ion. Browns at Bears.
Oh man.
I love watching the Browns try and juggle this quarterback thing
mm-hmm.
because I think King Florio's convinced me the Browns want to play Shador.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Shador's not bringing up his end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think Deshaun stinks, but every time you get to watch Deshaun, it is at least some type of possibility of could he refind his career? And so you've got Deshaun starting this game. Shador will start week two. Just the dysfunction of the Browns is intoxicating.
Yeah.
It's just fun to watch. I do not know if Caleb's playing. But the fact that Deshaun's playing, and also like watching Deshaun one hop like stop routes is still invigorating.
Yeah, one hop.
Mm-hmm.
My number three is the other NFL game that you picked out, Jeffrey. I've got the Vikings and the Giants, mainly to see definitely the starters on both sides, just to see one who gets any run out. For me, probably for the Giants, like they are still one of the more interesting teams going into this season. Don't know how it's going to look yet with the new coaching staff. With the
Kyler
new
style. Is correct.
Kyler's playing. Okay, so we are getting some Tinky Winky action out there. Most definitely also going to get some JJ. So
well,
we're going to see the highs
really,
and the lows.
He's going to be all white probably.
Oh, so he'll look
tiny.
Average.
No, he looks tiny and white too.
I just don't think that's a color issue, if we're being completely honest there. But we're also going to get to see JJ, hopefully, a little bit. You know, if that's something people are interested in.
I did love it.
Sure.
You could just set your watch to it.
Mm-hmm.
The stories immediately coming out about, well, you know, he's really disagreeable. Like, mm-hmm. Why don't we do things this way? It's like, oh, so you mean he made recommendations like quarterbacks always do?
Yeah.
Like,
go.
Okay, like you knew that was coming, mm-hmm. But that's never made sense to me. This is where coaches get so dumb. They want to justify their choice, but at the end of the day, like you're trying to trade him. All you're doing is just hurting that. Like, just stop. Like, why do you have to leak out all of that information? I've never understood why they do that. D Mike.
Number three?
Yep.
Going the boxing route for this one, but
why? You got to tell us, why was there not a boxing match last weekend? There was nothing.
I feel like, I don't know, when you get to this part of the year, I don't know if it's like something about how August sells or something like that, but you know, September, October, November get a lot of the big fights, especially Labor Day weekend, you know, like.
Just
I don't know,
do it when we don't have football.
Traditionally, though, like August is
I will watch.
August is not a big fight month, so to speak. But for this one, I'm going Case Scott versus Clarissa Shields. Now, Clarissa should, I think, destroy this woman. Case Scott is like a 42-year-old. She's 5-1.
What?
Yeah, she got like a late start to her.
Let's go.
But
I'll say.
She has something that Clarissa wants. She has the belts. And if Clarissa wins this fight, she'll be the first boxer ever, man, woman, whatever. She'll be the first boxer ever to be a middleweight and heavyweight champion.
Okay.
So there we go.
We love history.
She's literally chasing something that didn't even sound, you know, achievable. Like, you're talking about multiple, going down multiple weight classes, and from heavyweight to middleweight, it's pretty big. But
where is the fight?
Where are they fighting at? That's a good question. It's on to some. Where are they fighting at?
Which sounds like we're gonna have to get that by the way.
Yeah. I mean, you better go ahead and get that account ready. Where are they fighting in Michigan? Let me see. Clarissa Shields, K. Scott. Let's see. It is.
That's always tough when it's like, what? Shouldn't this be?
Oh, State Farm.
Okay.
Oh, I knew that because, yeah, State Farm. I think.
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
Atlanta. All right. Dodgers version.
Number three?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would say this. Both teams are interesting to me at this point. So you got the Dodgers upset with the whole pitching staff, firing Maddux and whatnot. The Brewers look like the team that are kind of like, God, it's August. Like, we've been playing a lot of baseball. They're not exactly firing on all the cylinders. I'm not worried about either team. But I do feel like oftentimes when you get these kinds of series at this point of the calendar, it ends up reminding you, like, okay, these are still two of the best teams. Like, this is a playoff preview. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the intensity picks up. These are the types of series that I like, despite the fact neither team's, like, peaking right now. George?
My number two, definitely not a playoff preview by any means, but they are coming off of a 9-0 West Coast trip. The Baltimore Orioles heading into Tropicana Field to take on the Rays. I want to see if the Rays can not just maintain, but extend that lead in the entire Major League Baseball race.
Mm.
Had to do it. Had to be done.
Yeah, I mean, we're in chase season at this point.
It's
mid-August, like every game. You're
one quarter left.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. PCA just popped out.
Popped out? Oh. You got some bets over there or something?
No, the Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not deeply serious, but we're still alive enough.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
We're alive enough for me to not.
Y'all are what, like, 61 and 60?
I think we're three back of the last wild card spot. We're at the point where I don't lose sleep or anything over losses, but I still watch. Like, I'm interested enough. Like, they've gotten me to this point where it's like, okay, I'll keep watching.
Miz is 11-5 with a 1.76 ERA. That's such a Brewers. That's like Brewers, Mariners, Cleveland type stats. But anyways, number two for me. Yeah, I'm going Brewers Dodgers. I love this series. I love the matchups. The pitching matchups, the teams, like, these have been, I'll say, two of the three best teams in the NL for obvious reasons, all season long. And the Brewers have been really
Two of the five best teams in baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can say that. Two of the five best teams in baseball, period. This could be a preview, possibly.
Who knows how the actual standings shake out. But
yeah, and that's a big part of it. Like, you get this series, and I think the Braves play these two teams later this month as well.
Oh, so, like, God, I just thought, what if the Brewers beat the Dodgers in the DS? Five games, then we'll have to change the entire playoff structure again. Every time the Dodgers lose, we have to change
it.
It's the format's problem. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, right before a lockout, I am so hoping for a Brewers and Rays World Series.
Oh, that
would be a
the right way to sit into that December lockout.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is the FedEx St. Jude.
Okay.
Heading out on Sunday, so I'm going to sweat it out Sunday.
So you're going to go?
Very nice. He's going.
Yeah.
My wife and I. So I'll probably be seeing Rory sometime around 9:30. That's looking like what it'll be his tee time. Georgia, number one.
My number one game tonight on NFL Network, 6 o'clock. The Buccaneers take on my Jets in some preseason action. I mainly just want to watch David Bailey go to work because
it's a new toy.
It's not just that. If you remember what he did in college, it's a lot of fun.
No, like, no, he's violent. Yeah, no, he hits
just
hard.
Plays angry, and I love watching that.
Yeah. Defensive ends that actually hit hard are really fun.
And no gloves, no sleeves, no wrap. He's old school. I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right, D-Mike.
I mean, y'all are real week one preseason football guys.
Brother, I need
I watched
something.
Everything that was on NFL Network last night.
I love week two. You know, I got to see two series. Like
fair.
Even yesterday, it's like, man, I saw Jordan throw five passes and he's gone. It's like,
yeah,
it's
but
like,
that deep crosser.
Oh,
that was,
oh,
it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But number one for me, FedEx St. Jude Championship. For a lot of reasons, of course.
We don't know how many more we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be one of the last two.
That's one of them. And I mean, over the last few years, this tournament has had thrilling finishes. So,
oh yeah,
I'm definitely tapped in from that point. But
names are good.
A big reason why this is number one for me personally, because you know I can just put my feet on the Lazy Boy this year.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to cover it.
First year I'm not covering it. And shout out to the shout out to the team at CA. Guys.
Nice to not be working.
It's nice to not be out there sweating, trying to figure out where hole number 7 is. And then try to make it back to hole 10 when this guy is about to
walk 2 miles.
Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to enjoy that.
All right, my number one, I have the rule. We're handing out another national championship, USAM. It'll be the finals on Sunday on NBC. George, I guess we blew right through it, right? Let's hit the music. All right, where did I put on my sheet? We got to go with Fernando. Did y'all see him yesterday? Talking about the strip.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there once or twice, but I haven't really experienced the strip. It's like a boogeyman. A lot of people talk about the strip like you don't want to go there. It's like when you're a kid, you go trick-or-treating, and there's a haunted house. You're not trying to go over there to the haunted house. The strip's like the haunted house. Mm. He does not disappoint. Played well. I have no idea which defenders were playing, but he looked good. Mm-hmm. I think he can play against backup defensive players.
That's a start.
Last thing also before we go. I do not hate the Titans jerseys like the internet does. I thought they looked good on TV.
You complimented them, right?
Yeah, I thought they looked good.
Yeah.
And the internet was like, oh.
It just goes to show you social media can pick one thing and you.
No, I was like, this looked good. Cam played a lot.
Yeah.
My thanks to Blake Topmeyer for being with us. If you missed anything up on the podcast, shortly after the program ends. For George, it's Jeffrey saying thanks, and D-Mike, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.